If you were unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, we have good news for you. We produced an audio DVD of the conference. The recording contains all of the speakers' presentations, my Divine Service sermon, and the hymn sing. We'll send you the audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can also order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Order your audio DVD of the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Healthy or sick, born or unborn, I will fight and win for you.
A lot of conservatives have internalized a lot of things that have grown out of contemporary historical feminism and said, well, some good did come from feminism. But again, I disagree with that.
There is no such thing as a penitent believer in Jesus Christ who is water baptized, who does not have the Holy Spirit.
Lutherans living below the Mason-Dixon line love Issues Etc.
Sing it, song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
What if when Jesus was dying on the cross, he wasn't actually doing anything? It wasn't actually affecting a change, reconciling God to man and man to God, the world to God. It wasn't actually paying for sins. It wasn't the sinless offering of God's Son, a sinless life to his Father as a sacrifice for all of sins. What if, in fact, it was just a demonstration, a message, an object lesson? What if Jesus wasn't dying so much to save you from your sin, but from your self-justification? That notion, that kind of, well, I'd call it a substandard notion of the cross and of the atonement, is at the very heart of what is called nowadays radical Lutheranism. It goes by the name Lutheran, but the closer you look at it, the less and less it looks like anything from Scripture or the Lutheran confessions, or from Martin Luther, for that matter. Doesn't have a lot of room for the wrath of God, for a payment for sin, for any conventional view of the atonement, but kind of redefines all of those things. But it has a certain currency, and it has its advocates. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us for the next hour to talk about the theology of radical Lutheranism and its major proponent, actually kind of its inventor, the late Gerhard Ferdy, Pastor Christopher Jackson. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. Peter Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin. He's author of a recent article for First Things titled A Radically Toxic Combination. Pastor Jackson, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's an honor to be on.
You have been thinking about the theology of Gerhard Ferdy. That's kind of the father of radical Lutheranism, for some time. But what brought his theology back to your attention and to your thinking recently?
Yes, in recent years, a megachurch pastor by the name of Tullian Chavijan had been popularizing his theology by means of his ministry, especially through his Liberate ministry. He used his ideas, Ferdy's ideas, very often in his blog posts, books, sermons, and so on. And especially given his recent fall and his resignation from Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, where he was pastor, it has brought these ideas some additional attention.
So give us just kind of a brief bio of Gerhard Ferdy himself, not so much a biography, but give us a kind of a theological snapshot of him, if you would.
Yeah, so Gerhard Ferdy was a man who was a theologian at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and ostensibly a Lutheran theologian, grew up in a Lutheran background. It should be noted that he grew up in a very pietistic background, which more or less means there was a heavy emphasis on the individual experience of the Christian, and as well probably a very heavy legalistic emphasis as well in the life of his churches growing up. Gerhard Fruity then reacted to that, as well as some other theological emphases being promoted in Lutheranism at the time. And based upon those things and some other readings of Luther and other reformers, formulated his radical Lutheranism.
How would a layperson know if their pastor has been influenced by Fruity's radical Lutheranism?
Well, this indeed can be very simple and also very difficult. If your pastor recommends that you read a book by Gerhard Fruity, you can probably have a good idea that he's been influenced by Fruity himself. And I say that in all seriousness. One of his books on being a theologian of the cross, Reflections on Luther's Heidelberg Disputation, Fruity, that book is very often cited by Lutheran pastors, even in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, often very favorably. And so you might actually get a recommendation to read some of his books. Now, if that hasn't come, it can be very difficult because many of the ideas that Fruity used have really the same names as Orthodox Lutheranism. He talks about sin, grace, justification. Sometimes he even talks about forgiveness, though that word is not used too often in his writings. That being the case, it can be very difficult to discern if radical Lutheranism has influenced your pastor. But probably the biggest way that you could tell is in terms of the pastor's preaching. One of Fruity's most popular books is Theology is for Proclamation, and in this book, Fruity lays out the view that all theology ought to be done to this end, that a Christian should be brought to a point where they no longer try to justify themselves before God, but just simply accept God's eternal mercies, and that's an important point, that God's acceptance has always been there, even apart from the work of Christ on the cross. And therefore, every sermon ought to lead you to that point of accepting that eternal mercy. Now, this can lead to a very rigid understanding of what preaching ought to be, and also a very manipulative form of preaching. Manipulative not only of congregations, in that this is the goal is to bring people to this point, to this understanding all the time, and to shape the sermon in such a way, but also and especially manipulative of God's Word, because it really doesn't matter what's going on in the biblical text, whether this is from the Gospels or the Old Testament or an epistle. You're always going to try to do the exact same thing no matter what.
So let's, before we get into kind of the idiosyncrasies of Fruity's brand of Lutheranism, or maybe, as you said before, kind of his recasting of old words with new definitions. What is commendable about Fruity's theology? I read On Being a Theologian of the Cross. I thought he did a good job of kind of explaining Luther's theology of the cross insofar as it went. Of course, if you understand the bigger context there, you might want to reread it and wonder whether or not you're going to agree with as much of it. But at a first read, you say, okay, he kind of gets Luther's theology of the cross. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, the book On Being a Theologian of the Cross, it's a curious one in that, as he lays out the Heidelberg Disputation, you get the sense that he's accurately conveying some of the ideas in there. At the same time, it's interesting because the Heidelberg Disputation is also a pre-evangelical writing of Luther's. And in other words, this was written before his conversion, and so or understanding of the gospel, shall we say, and so that it can be very. I agree with you that it can be very helpful, but at the same time, maybe a little bit misleading as well. Now, in terms of what's commendable in my understanding, I will come right out and say that I was myself very highly influenced by Gerhard Fruity, especially in the early years of my ministry. I've come to have much more distance there. But I would say that, first of all, Fruity recognized some very big problems that were and continue to haunt the American Christian Church. First of all, he very highly criticized what we today call the moralistic therapeutic deism of American Christianity, this word that gets thrown around a lot. He, I think, saw the problem of this much earlier than many other people did. And so certainly he is to be commended for that and for diagnosing that. Also, he himself was a very strong critic of many liberal theologians and theological systems. He was a strong critic of feminist theology, liberation theology, and so on. These to be commended for these ideas, for these thoughts. Also, I think that very few people, as well as Ferdy, explained that before God, we really bring nothing to commend ourselves into our salvation. That really and truly, we are wholly and completely dependent upon God for our salvation, and therefore this should be reflected in the spirituality and the witness and the worship of the church. And then finally, his understanding that Christian witness and Christian preaching should ideally mainly be what we might say a first and second person discourse, I-thou discourse. In other words, saying things like, I forgive you, or you are forgiven, rather than just simply saying, well, God is forgiving. I think this is very helpful for Christian ministry and for preachers.
Okay, so what is the biggest problem? And it really is not just kind of a peripheral issue when it comes to Ferdy's theology. It goes to the very heart of Christian theology. What is it?
Yeah, the biggest problem with Ferdy's theology is his view of the atonement, the view of Christ's saving work for us.
How would you describe it?
Yeah, so Ferdy, his view of the atonement is that Christ came proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. And so far we might think to ourselves, okay, all well and good. But he then goes on to say that this unconditional proclamation of the forgiveness of sins brought about a rebellion for those who heard him against Jesus so that they crucified him. They killed him. And so the cross of Christ functions mainly, in Ferdy's theology, as a means by which we simply cannot escape the fact that we, by our human nature, simply want to justify ourselves. And again, since he uses these very, you know, Orthodox Lutheran-sounding terms like cross and crucifixion and grace and so on, mercy, it's very easy to sort of go along with this and see this as all well and good. But here's the problem. Christ's cross isn't so much something that accomplishes our salvation in terms of being a means by which the wrath of God that we have justly deserved being poured out on Christ, or rather being a satisfaction of the debt that we owe God because of the fact that we have not led righteous lives, but rather Christ's death is merely a means of revelation, showing how captive we are to our self-justification so that in turn we embrace the mercies of God, which had always been offered in the first place, even apart from the crucifixion of Christ.
So this is, this is a subtle point, but I think one that bears repeating again and again. The classic Christian view of the atonement is that Jesus' death actually did something, didn't just communicate or demonstrate something, but actually affected a change.
As any child can say, Jesus died to take away my sins.
And Ferdy's theology is something short of that when it comes to the atonement.
Absolutely. That Jesus didn't need to die to satisfy the punishment that we deserve. That Jesus didn't die to satisfy the debt that we owe to God. But rather, Jesus died simply to show us that God has always been justifying us and showing grace to us, even apart from the work of Christ.
So to kind of show us something to shock us out of our legalism.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does Ferdy's theology substitute legalism or a self-justification for sin?
Absolutely. So this is the curiosity of Ferdy's theology, is that, and really it shouldn't be even stated so much as a curiosity, because the work of Christ is so central. If you get that wrong, it's going to make everything else problematic as well. And so since he has this incorrect view of the atonement, this also affects the way he views sin, the way he views sanctification. Many other ideas of Christian theology are influenced by this view of the atonement. So sin, for example, instead of being a transgression of God's expectations for us in both deed and heart, instead, sin becomes for Ferdy simply our rejection of God's acceptance of us, a rejection of God's justification of us and his eternal mercies, but rather sin becomes simply our clinging to our self-justification.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest. We're talking about the theology of radical Lutheranism and Gerhard Ferdy during this hour of Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is the ebook edition of Lutheran Service Book, fantastic hymnal from Concordia Publishing House. Over 600 hymns, 150 psalms. It has all of the devotional and worship resources in the ebook edition of Lutheran Service Book. You can take it wherever you go, wherever your device can go, you can take it with you. Especially useful, I would think, for the use of the hymnal in your home and with your family. Find out more about the Lutheran Service Book ebook edition at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for a Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. book of the month for July. We'll be right back.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, it's Wednesday afternoon, July the 22nd. We're talking about the theology of radical Lutheranism and Gerhard Ferdy. Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest, author of a recent article for First Things titled A Radically Toxic Combination. Christopher, just to kind of summarize here on that view of sin, you know, part of the problem of Ferdy's theology, it sounds like he essentially redefined sin as nothing more than self-justification. Self-justification is certainly a sin, but sin is more than just self-justification. And that would tend to suggest to me that there's a serious disconnection here between sin and the objective external word of God's law.
Absolutely. And so for him, the law, this is another theological concept which becomes altered because of his faulty view of the atonement. So since God's entire point in Christ and entire point even outside of Christ is to bring us to just simply accept his eternal justification of us before him, the law becomes anything which moves us to the point of giving up our self-justification. So the law can certainly be the Decalogue, but God's law can also be, sometimes I think he uses the term, the rustling of a leaf, reminding us of our mortality can be God's law. This is a very different understanding of God's law than we've come to know it from the Lutheran Confession.
So let me see if I can summarize here. From the starting point, you could start at various different points on the figure here, but for the sake of how we've done it here, starting with a different view of the atonement, Jesus dies at the hands of self-justifying men, not so much, or not to suffer the punishment that God's wrath requires of sinners, not as a substitute for me in any real sense, but to demonstrate to me that I don't need to justify myself, and to point me to this kind of ambiguous eternal mercy of God. In other words, I had it wrong all along, not because I'd offended God or incurred his wrath. I just didn't understand correctly. And Jesus died to correct my understanding of God's mercy.
Absolutely. In a sense, Ferdy believes that theology and the work of Christ is there to bring us into a fuller understanding of what God had always been doing in the first place, which is accepting us, giving us, again, I think you very aptly put it, this ambiguous eternal mercy of God. It's not so much that we have offended God and therefore deserve punishment, which Christ took in our stead. It's not so much that God has expected us to lead righteous lives and therefore Christ needs to fulfill our righteousness as well, but rather, in a sense, the cross amplifies our understanding of just how self-justifying we are, so that we therefore understand the great travesty that is, in Ferdy's eyes, the great travesty that is, and rather accept God's justifying of us out of eternity.
So what is this? To me, it sounds as though then that not only does he disconnect sin from the law in any real sense, you can kind of have sin that is not directly connected to God's will in any way. But it sounds as though, since he has this notion of this eternal mercy of God, and that the cross doesn't actually ground that mercy someplace, isn't actually the source of that mercy, but a demonstration of it, sounds as though he cuts the gospel off from the cross, the event of the cross in some ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, certainly, I think, to be fair to Ferdy, the cross serves as gospel because it brings us to this understanding that we have been so self-justifying and therefore that we give up on the effort of self-justifying. But again, this is a very different understanding of the word gospel. This is not the understanding of the word gospel that we have come to know it from the Lutheran confessions or just simply the Bible. The fact that we have been saved by grace through faith, that this grace is on offer to us on account of Christ paying the great debt that we owe to God on account of our sin.
Oh, there are other problems with Ferdy's theology. Obviously, all of them are going to flow from kind of that central issue on the atonement, but are there other problems with his theology?
Yes. So Fourier's theology, I think probably the most practical problem for pastors is that if we're going to embrace that and embrace his understanding of how this should influence preaching, that this is going to make the preaching task to be a very frustrating one and also a very boring one. I found myself when I was sort of operating under these ideas about 8 years ago or so, I found myself becoming essentially both very frustrated at having to try to figure out how to make each Bible passage do what he says Christian preaching should always do. And then as well, I found myself just plain getting bored with my own preaching at that. And so it was very liberating, in a sense, for me to be freed from that, because all of a sudden the full chorus of the Scriptures and its beautiful harmonies and its many very diverse ways of speaking about God and telling us of the good news of Christ and what it means to live like as a Christian, that full harmony was able to come out into my preaching much more. So there's that very practical problem of preaching. Another issue that comes out of this is that it gives a very limiting work for Christian theology as a whole. So to this end, to bring Christians to the point that they no longer are justifying themselves, but rather accepting the eternal mercies of God, this really makes it very difficult to do other theological endeavors. For example, Christian ethics or Christian aesthetics. These ideas, I think, are cut off at the knees by accepting a radical Lutheran standpoint, and therefore very severely limits the theological endeavor.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest. We're talking about the theology of radical Lutheranism and Gerhard Fourier on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 22nd. He's author of an article for First Things titled A Radically Toxic Combination. Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues, Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With a simply classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues, etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 22nd. We're talking about the theology of so-called radical Lutheranism in Gerhard Ferdy. Pastor Christopher Jackson is our guest, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. Peter Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin, author of a recent article for First Things titled A Radically Toxic Combination. I'm trying to keep this straight in my mind, Christopher, but back to the subject we were discussing before the break. So if the cross isn't Jesus as my substitute under God's wrath on account of my sin, if the cross isn't Jesus receiving the just penalty for my sin in his body that I deserved, if the cross is merely a demonstration whereby I am to see the my own captivity to sin, doesn't that turn the gospel into the law? Because in classical Lutheran theology, the law is what shows you your captivity to sin.
Absolutely. I think that that is a very, very valid point. And I believe that I've seen that you expressed this, that in essence, the gospel has to end up doing the work of these other theological commonplaces that we have, such as the law. And so, in a sense, we lose the gospel through Ferdy because the gospel has to do the work of the law in terms of bringing us to this understanding that he believes all Christians should, according to his theological system.
If the Ferdy's view of the atonement is consistently applied, it really kind of ransacks Scripture and a lot of very important Christian doctrines. How would you describe that?
I think that's very, very perceptive. Quite frankly, I have no idea how entire books of the Bible would have their place under Ferdy's viewpoint. What in the world are you going to do with, for example, the book of Proverbs under Ferdy's theological system? I believe that some great LCMS theologians and exegetes, for example, Horace Hummel, one of the great Lutheran theologians of the last century, described Proverbs as being describing what life looks like in the settled Christian life, how to live life as wise people under the reign of God, and quite simply, this has no place in Ferdy's theology at all. You go on to the epistles, and in the epistles we have many, many examples where Paul is doing what we might say Christian exhortation or Christian parenesis, where Paul is urging and guiding Christians as individuals and congregations in living out the Christian life. Again, this has absolutely no place in Ferdy's understanding of theology. So I believe that's a very perceptive viewpoint that you have there, that that not only in Christian preaching is it manipulative to the Word of God, but quite simply this theological system has no place for great swaths of the Word of God as we have them in the Holy Scriptures.
It essentially is permission to ignore that stuff if you want to, because it's not relevant to that central task that Ferdy lays out for the atonement. That sounds to me an awful lot like what they used to call gospel reductionism. That is saying the only thing, is the central teaching of Holy Scripture the gospel, which it certainly is. Gospel reductionism says that the gospel can be substituted for Scripture. And that has a tendency, I would say an inevitable tendency, Pastor Jackson, to diminish every other doctrine but the nude gospel, but the God has mercy on you, or God loves you anyway kind of a thing. It diminishes not only the gospel, but it tends to push all the other doctrines into, ultimately, into irrelevance.
I absolutely agree. It not only pushes parts of the Scriptures into irrelevance under the theological system, but because it pushes parts of the Scriptures into irrelevance, it also puts many points of Christian doctrine into irrelevance as well. I've been toying with this idea a little bit over the past few years, that I think that the early Lutheran theologians, they accepted a means of doing systematic theology that was very distinct in that time, but I believe it was done purposefully. In fancy theological terms, we say that they accepted the means of doing systematic theology by the listing out of loci, or theological commonplaces. And so we see this, for example, in one of the great Lutheran documents, the Augsburg Confession, but we also see this in Martin Chemnitz, we see this in John Gerhard, where they simply list out the Christian doctrines without trying to necessarily find some great scheme. And I believe that there's an inherent wisdom in that, because whenever we try to have such a great grand scheme as certainly Gerhard Ferdy has done with his theological program, you end up leaving out a great amount of Christian doctrine, and as well as making irrelevant great many parts of the Christian Scriptures as well.
Then, to the kind of the point of the Christian life, Luther describes not only describes the atonement in terms completely different than that of Ferdy. Luther is completely comfortable with God's wrath, displeasure. You actually quote in your article from the Large Catechism Luther's description of our condition. We fell under the wrath of God and displeasure, and we're doomed to eternal damnation. That's not even a picture that Ferdy can paint, since we're not doomed. God's just sitting up there being merciful to us, and we don't know it yet. But Luther's terms seem to run completely afoul of Ferdy's description of both our sin and the atonement.
I absolutely agree, and this is a point which bears repeating and repeating over and over again. Many advocates of radical Lutheranism like to pit, shall we say, the full corpus, the full body of the Lutheran Confessions, more or less the Book of Concord, against Luther, and Luther against the Book of Concord, mainly because the Book of Concord runs flatly against these views of Ferdy. Many various points of the Book of Concord do. And so the recourse is to say that, well, this is the theology of Luther. And often they will try to pull out various parts of Luther's writings, Luther's theology, which sound very much like what Gerhard Ferdy has done. But here's the thing, they have to really pick and choose in Luther, because all you have to do is simply open up the Large Catechism to see that Gerhard Ferdy and this radical Lutheranism runs afoul of Luther. You simply only have to open up the Large Catechism, but if you pull out any of Luther's sermons, you can see that he does highly divergent things from what Gerhard Ferdy recommends. For example, as you very aptly put out, he discusses the fact that we deserve damnation, condemnation, We deserve hell because of the ways that we have violated God's law, God's expectations for us in word, deed, and heart. Not only that, but Luther is very comfortable as well in terms of doing exhortation and paranesis of Christian individuals and Christian congregations. Again, in Ferdy's viewpoint, this really doesn't have much of a place.
And to the kind of the individual Christian's life, Luther describes in the Catechism a life of daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He speaks eloquently in other places about the Christian's constant struggle against sin, but I don't think that Ferdy's theology can carry that weight, because he would have a struggle merely against our tendency to self-justify, not against our actual violations of God's express will in the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, and I think that this I think this is an important point, because as that point has been made, people will bring out examples where Ferdy and proponents of radical Lutheranism actually do encourage Christians to struggle against sin and do struggle against, you know, to struggle against against violating the law and so on. But I find that very interesting that, in a sense, not even Ferdy could fully embrace his own theology. You just simply, if you're going to let the scriptures speak as they do, you will begin to speak as the scriptures, which is to encourage Christians to struggle against sin, encourage Christians to live according to the desires of God. And so I think it's very important to note that indeed Ferdy's theology is so narrow that it leaves absolutely no room for this aspect of Christian ministry and Christian life. And that even if Ferdy himself could not do this, we might then in turn question his theology as well.
When we come back in another 10 minutes, talk about the theology of radical Lutheranism with Pastor Christopher Jackson, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, St. Peter Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin, and author of a recent article for First Things titled A Radically Toxic Combination. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the theology of radical Lutheranism and Gerhard Ferdy with Pastor Christopher Jackson. 10 more minutes with him. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, they are perfectly comfortable with the old definitions of the classical Lutheran terms and the old categories, not because they're old, but because they're solid, they're biblical, and they're confessional. And there's nothing better to teach and to train and to form our future pastors in than sound Lutheran theology and practice. And that's what you'll find at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Check them out on the web, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call, 1-800-481-2155. They're forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Jackson, I tend to approach things in kind of a simple way. One of the things in the course of doing this program I've learned is to ask the question, who is the Jesus of, whether it be of Reformed theology, Baptist theology, Roman Catholic theology, who is the Jesus of? And I want to ask that question here with regard to radical Lutheranism. If, according to Gerhard Ferdy's theology, Jesus isn't my substitute who bears the wrath of God at the cross, who actually affects my salvation by taking in his flesh the penalty for my real sins, if he isn't the bearer of God's wrath there, then who is the Jesus of Gerhard Ferdy and of radical Lutheranism?
Sometimes I'm tempted to think that the Jesus of Gerhard Ferdy more closely resembles the Jesus of the Gnostics than the Jesus of Martin Luther, the Jesus of the Lutheran Confessions, or the Jesus of the Scriptures. The reason being that ancient Gnosticism held that Jesus was there to introduce a secret knowledge to people in order that they, in turn, might be, in a sense, liberated from the common understandings of the rest of humanity. There are some very big differences between Ferdy's theology and Gnosticism, and I'll be quite honest with that. But I do see very many similarities that the Jesus of Ferdy and the cross, according to Ferdy, is this means of introducing this knowledge from God. And insofar as that, I do believe that the Jesus of Ferdy is a God of Gnosticism.
We talked at the very beginning, how would a lay person know if their pastor had come under the influence of radical Lutheranism, Gerhard Ferdy's theology? And you said, well, you know, if they're recommending his books without any kind of, you read this is good Lutheran stuff, without any warnings whatsoever. If a layperson does find himself in a position where his pastor's fallen under the influence of radical Lutheranism, promotes it, and talks in these kind of terms, kind of redefined terms about the cross, about Christ, about sin, about atonement, what should that layperson do?
Yeah, that's a great question, Todd. I believe that the first thing that the faithful layperson should do in such a circumstance is get down on their knees and pray, that the Lord would indeed move that pastor through the means that the Lord has always ordained to move us in terms of both our theology and our practice, that pastor, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as it comes to us through word and sacrament, would be moved to a better understanding concerning these things. That's the utter most important thing that such a concerned lay person could do. The other important thing that a lay person could do is just simply open a dialogue with that pastor, a conversation, say, here's what I'm hearing from you, and here are my concerns. Can we talk about this a little bit? And certainly I believe that through that, certainly much good can come. Certainly in such a circumstance, patience is of the utmost importance. I know that I was readily admitted earlier in the interview that I myself was very much under the sway of Ferdy for several years in my ministry. And I can't say that there was any one point in time where there was sort of a light bulb that went off and all of a sudden I had seen the error of my ways, but through the slow, methodical work of the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, and through His sacraments, and through conversations with fellow pastors and theologians, I came to see the real problems there. So certainly, patience, understanding are going to be key in such a circumstance.
Finally then, Pastor Jackson, many have had hoped with, we talked earlier about Pastor Tully and Tavidian, many had hoped that his detente with Lutheranism would be kind of a bridge for a dialogue between Lutheran theology and evangelicalism. Can that dialogue really take place on the basis of radical Lutheranism?
I don't believe so, and for several reasons. First of all, the Lutheranism, the putative Lutheranism of Gerhard Fürbe is not faithful Orthodox Lutheranism as we have come to know it through the Lutheran confessions, through Luther himself, and ultimately from the scriptures. And therefore, it is not on the basis of radical Lutheranism that greater interaction between evangelicalism or any other Christian body can occur, because it is not faithful Lutheranism. On a deeper level, however, I believe, and on two different levels, I believe that it is difficult, because first of all, Fürbe was very clear in his article that he entitled Radical Lutheranism, that this was formulated in part to amplify the distance, to amplify the theological distance between Lutheranism and other theological bodies. Now, on the one hand, we certainly do not want to cover over the very real and the very important theological differences that we have between the evangelical world or any other Christian body. But on the other hand, taking a sort of reactionary stance to heighten or amplify the difference is certainly going to not, it's not going to be a means to increasing rapprochement between Lutherans, evangelicals, or any other theological body. Finally, I think that there's an even deeper reason that it cannot serve as a basis for increasing interaction between Lutherans and other Christian theological traditions for a reason that not even Fürbe anticipated, and that's the fact that, as Fürbe's own book says, the fact that if theology is for proclamation, this leaves out, completely cuts at the knees, the idea that theology might be for other means as well. For example, that theology might be for the guiding of Christian life and Christian ethics, or, as I said earlier, Christian aesthetics. And then finally, the fact that justification, the act of proclaiming the forgiveness of God, if that is simply the end of theology, this also misses the biblical viewpoint that our justification is a means by which we enjoy the glory of God in adoration of Him. As Martin Luther said in the explanation to the second article, he says that Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death, that I may be His own and live under Him in His kingdom and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. In other words, that in eternity we might behold God in His glory and that we might enjoy Him in that eternal blessedness and service of God. C.S. Lewis has said that friendship is when two people are joined together in the mutual love of something else. So, for example, I like to homebrew. I might be joined in friendship with someone else out of our mutual interest in homebrewing. For Christians, our mutual love is God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And since under Fürbe's viewpoint, there is really no room for this adoration of God, theology isn't so much for that adoration of God, it therefore also prevents us from seeing this Christian friendship, which transcends theological boundaries, often very necessary theological and ecclesiastical boundaries. It cuts that off at the knees so that there is no room for that in a theological system, therefore as well no room for Christian friendship, and therefore absolutely no room or basis on the means of this theology for increased interaction between Lutheranism and other theological traditions, including American evangelicalism.
Pastor Christopher Jackson is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. Peter Lutheran Church in Forestville, Wisconsin. He's author of a recent article for First Things titled A Radically Toxic Combination. We'll have a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Christopher, thank you very much for your hard work and your faithfulness and for your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's been a pleasure.
Folks, if you're looking for a biblical confessional Lutheran set of teaching, you need to order the audio DVD from the 2015 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. It contains teachings from Pastor Jonathan Fisk, Dr. Paul Meyer, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Pastor Will Whedon, Dr. David Menton, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, and me. We'll send it to you for, if you're a non-conference attendee, for a suggested contribution of $300 before Labor Day. You can order online. Just click the audio DVD logo at issuesetc.org. You can also order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. For more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing on the audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get a review of the movie Ant-Man. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. We need to maintain, despite all the fads and all of the, well, let's just admit it, our oftentimes boredom with good old Lutheran theology, that Christ's work on the cross really actually did something, changed something, reconciled us to God. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.